As I mentioned a moment ago, Dallas Weems will be speaking to us today. As I think about that, I think about a year ago, last fall, Charlie and I coming back from a hospital visit and walking in the church, and Charlie was detained by some of the people back here at the apartment. I just went in. I think I was on the cell phone or something. And Charlie called and said, "I think you better get out here." And Dallas had been working on the church here and struck a power line. And I remember standing there and watching them take him off of that lift. And he was breathing very deep. Looked like the breaths of someone who didn't have much time to live. And I remember them taking him over to the parking lot over here and taking him out of an ambulance and putting him in a helicopter. And I remember all I could do was just stand there and watch and pray. And then we drove out to the hospital. And about the time we got to the hospital, the doctor was telling the family that the prognosis was not good. And just through the whole thing, the prayer that I had, and I'm sure it was the prayer of many other people, was that he would survive. He was a young man, and I believe that God wasn't through with him. I prayed that he'd survive, and I prayed that God would get glory through this tragedy. And I think we see that happening right now. God is faithful. So I'm going to ask Sue, Dallas's grandmother, to come and introduce him.
Thank you, Brother Scott. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As a family, we're so excited because we believed from day one, from 1985, May the 6th, when this little guy showed up in the world in Eno, Oklahoma, that God had something special for him. And all through his little boy life, he had the most sweet little boy attitude. And he possessed a special spirit. And lots of teachers here at Emmanuel that had him for choir and for Sunday school expressed that to us about what a special little guy he was. And as his grandparents, we knew that it was God's word in his life. God's word is powerful, and it's dynamic, and it's real. And so we knew that as that was embedded in his life, and he was brought to a new understanding in all the things that he did, that would live out in him. We saw him baptized here at Ridgely, and we knew that God had his hand on Dallas from the beginning. This Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We have hung on to that verse throughout these last 14 or 15 months, and we recognize that Dallas is a walking, living miracle because that's God's plan for him. Medically, he should not be here, and medically, he has opened up new frontiers and continues to do that and will continue to do that. We thank you as a church family for praying for us. Dallas's recovery is a total miracle. You've witnessed it. But the miracle of all miracles is Dallas's transformation spiritually. From the beginning, whenever we recognized that this was a life-altering injury, Dale and I prayed that God would use this to transform Dallas's life, to make him into the young man that God intended him to be. And so we give God glory for every day of his recovery. Psalms 37:11 tells us, "But all who humble themselves before the Lord shall be given every blessing and shall have wonderful peace." And so while I can tell you that this last 15 months has not always been the most peaceful thing that we've ever gone through, I can tell you that God has been faithful to give us a peace and an understanding that he had God, that God had Dallas in his own hand. And then the verse that we have claimed for him, we prayed scripture when he was unconscious. We played it in his hospital room. He listens to it reverently. We know that God's word embedded in him is going to come to fruition. And so the scripture that we have for him is Jeremiah 29:11, and we have prayed this over him so many times, and he tells it to me often. "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So, this morning I would like to introduce to you our third grandson, a seeker of the Lord, Dallas.
That verse, let's think about that for a second. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. If you are at that hospital and your faith is not grounded, that would not have made sense. Medically, especially with a burn, I was the worst case Parkland Hospital has ever seen. The fact that I'm not wearing a hat out here is strange, but I wanted you to be able to see the extent of the damage I was done. I think it's fitting that today is Valentine's Day, and I get to stand here before you, something the doctors never thought I'd be able to do even after they realized I would live. Speak to you, again, something they didn't think I'd be able to do, as a living, breathing testimony of God's unfailing love for us. Many doctors at Parkland have admitted that it was not medical science or even my will to survive that kept me alive. A state-ran hospital and the very first line of my medical file states, "This young man is a miracle of God." Nobody can really deny that. Medical science is great, but as far as they were concerned, I couldn't live. I wake up every day, and I feel the presence of God. I died when I hit that line, medically, not completely, though. And it rings in my head every day. My God, why have you forsaken me? I never understood exactly what the Son of God meant when he said that. We've all felt alone in our lives. I chose to walk a path of turmoil when I was 14. On my birthday, I walked up to my dad and I said, "I am tired of being the good kid." And I made a philosophical choice at that time to live pleasing myself. If it feels good, do it. Yeah, it's exactly what it was. It didn't matter what it was. If it felt good, do it. That lifestyle, I didn't see any pearly gates. Let's put it that way. Death is amazing. Facing it, at least. Because I felt the absence of the divine presence. And there is nothing more painful than that. And every day I wake up and I can feel God. I can feel his love and his grace on me. A grace and a love I did nothing in my life to deserve. That's our God. My rebellion happened because I lost three very important things in my life, two of which were people, within a two-week period. And I felt as if my life had crumbled at my feet, so I didn't care anymore. And my rebellion was really against God. Not my parents, not my grandparents. Everything I grew up in this church and learned, I rebelled against. In the midst of my rebellion, our God did not give up on me. I've gone through a lot of things prior to this injury. And I've come out the other side because though I was not living for God, He had a plan for me. And I was not going to get away from it. I wondered a lot longer than Jonah did, but I kind of felt the same way. When I woke up in the hostel, I had lost 3 months of my life to a medically induced coma, and I'm grateful to it. I don't know how physically painful that would have been had I been awake. But I dreamt during that time. I knew I was injured, but I knew I was fine. I knew life was different. I keep a positive attitude now because my life is moving in a direction that's pleasing to God. My Aunt Logan is in the congregation right now. And her strength that I had seen all of my life from her has also allowed me to look at this with a positive attitude. There's very few people as positive as Logan Klawa. And that's rubbed off on me throughout my life. And I get to talk about my Valentine today because He loves me and He'll never let me go. No matter how stubborn I was. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If you go to Webster's Dictionary or the Oxford Dictionary and you look at the word love, there's a large V that stands beyond it. Love is not a noun. It is not an adjective. It is a verb. It is an action. It is constantly putting someone else's needs, desires, and wants over your own. And that's exactly what God does for us every day. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Those are actions we have to do. We have to ask. But He's faithful to follow His word. He will give. We have to seek. And there are several verses that say we will find Him. And believe me, we will. And we have to knock. The door that's open is, it's not lined with daffodils and praise. It's hard. It's hard to try to walk in God's will, knowing that you don't know it. You don't know what God's will is for you. We are given as His children a spirit of discernment. When something comes up and a decision is being made, prayer. Every one of you in here has heard of my story long before coming. And I cannot express my gratitude to you enough for your prayers. If they were not such fervent prayer warriors storming the gates of heaven for me, my recovery would have not been this or here. My attitude is what's changed. And I may have lost my sight. Teeth, obviously. And several other things that are important in my life. But there is nothing greater than the peace gained by actually opening your spirit and listening to the Father and doing what it is He wants you to do. In a third grade classroom, above the chalkboard, and yes, I'm old enough that it was chalk, was just a quick saying. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings conflict. That, I've seen that all of my life. And believing it's true. Because when we obey the Father, just in little things, His blessings pour through us. And when you bless somebody else, you're blessing God. He is faithful and just. And He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to carry it to completion. That work was started a hair over a decade ago, Henry. And faith is the only way anybody could have ever believed that it would come to fruition. But I stand here today transformed. I feel like the child I was when I grew up here. Mr. Jim Stallings spoke of memories. The feeling of this church, the sound in these hallways, bring back memories of a childhood. I grew up here. I grew up in the youth room that used to be right above us. I've been here through several youth ministers, several pastors, several music ministers. We had an interim music minister when I was younger who taught me everything I know about singing. Something I was very passionate about. And a little known fact is that Shout to the Lord is actually one of my favorite hymns. Now, I didn't tell anybody here that. It was just providence that that happened to be in our lineup today. Just hearing the words to that song, it has such different meaning for me now. Our refuge and strength. That is, it almost seems like an understatement. Without the strength of God, standing here right now is not possible. Real quick science lesson. There are actually 5 degrees to a urn. I was at 4. I did not know that until I was in the hospital. My skull was dead. The urn was dead. The electricity that passed through my head did not touch my brain. I don't know how much science you have behind you, but electricity passes through water. It is a conduit. Your brain is enclosed in a liquid. It arced around and did not go through my head. Something that the doctors could not explain. I had bruises on my brain from the jolts that my body did and from falling directly into the lift that went away within days. No damage done to it. My internal organs, perfectly fine. Pristine was the word the doctor used just a few weeks ago. That, again, cannot be explained medically. I was able to see every step, every choice and decision I made in my entire life in that coma. 3 months is a long time. And I saw how every single one of them hooked me into that line. Even if I could go back, I would change nothing. I do not know if my life would have changed had I not hit that line. I was trying to change my life in my strength. That doesn't work. We are failed creatures, born of sin into sin. Everything we do is done perfect, is something that was given to you to do by our Father. It's only through His strength is anything good going to exist. There is no power, no force, no fate that can circumvent, hinder, or control the firm resolve of a determined soul. My determination comes not from the fact that I have a gorgeous 3-year-old daughter, not from the fact that I am afraid to die, but from the fact that my God has a plan, and I am going to be His tool and let Him move my life through His plan the way He saw fit. Happiness is something that we all strive for. To truly be happy and loved and be loved. Real contentment with life and happiness in life isn't going to come from something you've made. Definitely didn't come from anything I did. I'm happier now than I've ever been in my life. Because God is in control of it. I have options to make, choices to decide on. Most of you know that I am in testing right now for a possible facial transplant. That would be wonderful. But now it's not the right move. I haven't made my decision yet. I'm still in prayer about it, and I ask you for your support in prayer, that God will just give me wisdom I want to decide to do. I don't want to do anything that will slow down the work He's doing in my life. I was sitting in Brother Scott's office, and we were talking, we do sometimes, and this last time was actually several hours, and I had given my word kind of silently that when I began to speak about what took place, I would begin right here at Ridgely. And that day, I told him I was ready to get up and speak. And he asked me when, and I said, how about the second Sunday in February? Just giving myself enough time. It was about a month ago, I think. About 20 minutes later, we actually looked to see what day that was. There's no coincidence that today's Valentine's Day. And I get to stand up here and talk about unfailing love that I never knew existed. My Sunday school teachers, they talked about it. They told me all about it. I read the Gospels. I read the red letters over and over again. But until you feel it in your life, you'll never understand what it is. And the only way to feel it is to allow yourself to. Give up the illusion of control. Because you don't have any. You can make your decisions. You're going to eventually get back to where you are on your knees and on your face is on the ground and you are crying out to our God. Pick up your mess. And He will. He'll never say you've gone too far. He'll never say, I can't hear you. He will get down to our level, and that says something, and lift us up and shower us in love and mercy and grace, because that's who He is. That's why I'm able to tell you today that He is my Valentine. I'm sure we know the footprints in the sand. Since I don't have it memorized, I'm just going to do a synopsis. Agar is walking with Christ. And they're walking along a beach. After a while, he turned around to look, the man did, and saw that several times there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And he asked God why he abandoned him during that time. And God said, "My son, those are not the times I abandoned you. Those are the times I carried you. Don't you want to be in his arms every day? All day? Don't you want there to only be one set of footprints in the sand? Let his grace and love carry you through every moment." I love philosophy. One of the greatest philosophers of his time was Marcus Aurelius. And he said, "The dead smiles at every man. And all we can do is smile back." We don't have to die. That's God's love to us. And we are not condemned. That is God's love to us. Everlasting life. I don't know what that means to you. That's pretty amazing to me. We sinned and fell, no longer able to commune in the way that we were with him. In tragedy, in pain, we as humans define ourselves. And we throw up a facade. And we're so concerned with what color our hair is, what brand of clothing we're wearing, what car we drive, whether we're middle class, upper middle class, upper class. What does that matter? What does class have anything to do with it? Who you are can't be clothed. It can't even be seen. It's your spirit. It's your heart. I thank God I'm blind. Because I may have lost my sight, but I have not lost my vision. I see in a way that I do not think I ever could have. I cannot judge people on anything external. I learn who they are. And there is beauty in everyone. And I find beauty in things that I never paid attention to before. When you walk out of this sanctuary today, take a look around. Pay attention to what it is you're seeing. And realize every natural thing is a gift. We were given everything God created as a gift. Your life, our lives, gifts. When you get exactly what you want at Christmas, under the Christmas tree, do you turn around the following day and pack it away? And forget about it? I doubt it. What better gift can you be given in life? And everything, the abundance that comes with it. Think of the people that you love today. And realize if you weren't given the gift of life, you wouldn't know them. And if they wouldn't, they were never given it, still wouldn't know. How could you love them? The most awesome thing ever done is the creation of mankind. I say that because I am one, and I'm allowed to appreciate it. Angels do not have free will. They accept and do what it is they are created for. We strive and desire to have a relationship with our God. And he is so faithful. No matter how far you slide, he will always be right there. I had an agnostic tell me one day, the reason he doesn't believe in God or he's not really sure, is that no supreme being would lower themselves to walk on this planet. I let that play over and over and over in my head to try to understand the logic of that. I don't see any in it. Because if that God, our God, loves us the way it says in his word that he does, yes, he would. Just to have a relationship with us, just to bridge the gap between our darkness, our unclean lies, and his perfection, he would. Christ is the Son of God, we know this. It's ingrained in our very being to understand it. But think of it from that perspective. He is, was, and always will be God. Yet he came down as a child and took a human form and walked along this earth with us, experiencing life for 32 years. It's longer than I've been alive. I know what I've gone through. He was hated and despised by several sects of the Jewish faith. Imagine what he went through for us. Because he loves us. And that's telling ourselves, I'm going too long. Love. If you want a description of the verb love, one word, Jesus. On the cross, he didn't curse anyone. He saw that he could see the Father, because the Father can't look on sin. Every sin you've ever committed, every sin I've ever committed, or ever will, because we will, has been forgiven because it was already paid for. He took it on. History will show you that, as they call him, Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified and perished on the cross historically faster than anyone else in history. Do you think it's because of the hand of the cross? I doubt it. He bore our sins. Your conscience, it hangs you when you do something blatantly that you know is wrong, but you're going to do it anyway. It hurts in here. And that's one sin. Every sin he felt, he carried. That is love. Knowing he could call down 10 legions of angels to take him off that cross and not doing it, that's love. I stand here transformed inside because your prayers have allowed me to see God's love in a way I never did before. I stand here alive because my God, our God, Abba, Father, he forgave me for every sin that I committed against him. I spent a long time studying other religions to understand what people believe. Brother Scott and I talked about this. The one thing that they all have in common is that your soul is saved by what you do. Except for Christianity. Our soul is saved by truly believing, truly accepting our God's love and his gift for us. Doesn't it just make you smile? Think about it. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be loved. My heart jumps at the fact that I don't have to be perfect, because I am not. I don't know, I didn't hear you, but I'm not. But our God loves me anyway. For any parent in here, your child has disobeyed you. They all do. My daughter's 3, she still does it. But you love them anyway. No matter what they do, you'll always love them. How much more love could God have for us if He is all of our parent? He's our Father. If you're missing that love in your life, and you realize it, and you want it, I encourage you, when the music plays, to walk down this aisle and speak with Brother Scott. If you just want to know more about it, because you don't, not sure you quite understand it, come anyway. Scott Cox has become like a mentor to me. I bet you anything, he'll know exactly what you need to know. And he will talk to you. And so I encourage you to come when the music starts playing and come down here and speak to him. God bless you all.